You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. Hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for starting this final week of March with us. How the heck are you? We are Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X this final Monday of March. Mark, I hope you had a great weekend. How are you?
I did. It was a lot of hoop. And then the mornings were spent, you know, big soccer tournament this weekend. So I was out and about for youth soccer, David.
Hope they were able to get that done between 8 and noon.
They, for the most part, did.
Okay, good.
You know, we had a 2 o'clock game on Saturday. That threw me for a little bit of a loop.
Couldn't get anybody to fill in for you there?
It is my kid, after all. I figured I could sacrifice missing the Dayton game, the Dayton-Arizona game for the kid. But other than that, locked into a lot of basketball this weekend. If there were other sports that happened, you can let me know about them in the starting five, because I watched basketball all damn weekend.
Well, I think a lot of people did. So the funny thing is, bowl tournaments, don't know how many people are paying attention to the women, but bowl tournaments, at this point in time, you look and you go, wow, a lot of chalk. Not necessarily till you get the chalk, but, you know, like the men's side, Mark. Round one, 3-11s, 2-12s, a 13, and a 14-1. The problem is, of those seven teams, only one of them is still alive, and the only reason they're still alive is because the 11 played the 14.
Is that a problem, though? See, I don't look at that as a problem. I look at that as a great tournament.
Oh, no. This is the Mark Miller tournament.
Well, but I don't just mean Mark Miller tournament. I mean ratings tournament. I mean CBS, TNT, TBS, True TV. All of them benefit when the good teams win, David.
I agree. Usually, though, this is just the fifth time since 79. 79, I think, was the first year they went beyond, like, 32 teams. I think they went to 48. And so this is just the fifth time since 1979 that all eight ones and twos on the men's side are through to the Sweet 16.
Fantastic. Those are the best teams. Those are the teams we want to see play one another.
I agree. Okay, we'll say, though, there is not a single Cinderella left on the men's side. There's not one. I mean, it's difficult to consider a team in the ACC a Cinderella. Their story's remarkable, but it's tough to consider them a Cinderella. They are the ACC tournament champion, after all. You know, I mean, it's tough to consider them a part of Tobacco Road, okay, because it's a little further down. But don't they raise their hand and say, oh, no, we qualify. Oh, no, we're part of it. So, you know, that's all. That's about the only thing I think this tournament is missing. There's not one team really I want to see how far. I mean, that team would have been Oakland. And they had their shot at the end of regulation against NC State, loused it up, and kind of ran out of steam in the overtime.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I'm okay if NC State is the only quote-unquote Cinderella-esque type team because of their seeding. They have the most interesting player to watch in the entire tournament.
So the big fella.
You can't fall in love with Mr. Burns there, then that's on you.
The big fella. Man, oh man. And he looks extra big going up against Oakland. I mean, he won't look, you know how sometimes people say, do I look fat in these jeans? When he's surrounded by a bunch of guys from Oakland, he looks fat in those jeans. Now, we get to the next round or so, you know, who are they going up against next?
Marquette.
You know, he's not going to look as fat in those jeans. There are going to be guys around him that are a little beefier. Okay? Don't get me wrong. He's going to be beefy at the very least. Okay, but I mean, man, when Oakland triple teamed him, Mark, you still saw plenty of him. I mean, that's how big he was in comparison to who was guarding him for Oakland. I mean, in Marquette, in theory, they'll only have to double team. Gotta love the big fella.
Absolutely. Kid can pass. He's got great feet.
Yep. Soft hands.
He is genuinely seems like a really nice kid when they interview him. He's in a good mood. He's fun. He's happy. I mean, other than turning down the ice cream, which was a shot by CBS giving him the ice cream in the first place, I mean, I think he should have put it right in the reporter's face and said, "You take the damn ice cream. What are you calling me fat?"
Thing. That's their thing. Apparently, that's Kevin Keats's thing. All right. After wins, they eat ice cream. It's like being in Little League again, Mark. You're going to get the two hot dogs and fries, win or lose. The question was, if you won, you got ice cream. If you lost, you didn't get ice cream. What's the incentive? Kevin Keats is big into the post-game ice cream if they win. So, hey, listen, anytime CBS tries to have a personality, I don't think we should try to squash that, okay? I think we should encourage it, even if it doesn't work. It's like, well, that's okay. It's all right. Get up, get back up on the bike. Let's try again. You know. I mean, the Turner guys are like, listen, I know contractually we have to keep doing this tournament with you guys, but you guys need to lighten up, okay? And I think they're trying to lighten up.
Okay.
Hello, friends. Did you see him in the stands?
How could you not?
Rooting for the Cougars?
How could you not? They had that cutaway locked in for the entire game.
I was going to say, you know, more Taylor Swift cutaways or Jim Nance? I think they showed Nance more than Taylor Swift.
Then you count the commercials that Nance is in as well, is a clear-cut winner.
There's no doubt. But it's been fun. It's been fun. And now we got a bunch of top seeds that are going to battle it out. So, okay. All right, let's do it. Let's go for it.
I'm all for that. You know, I love this tournament because it did give us first round upsets. We did get Oakland. We did get NC State in an upset. We did get Duquesne beating BYU.
We got Yale.
Right.
For goodness sakes, taking out Auburn.
God, I think somebody on this show had Auburn going a long way.
I think there's a couple of people on this show that had Auburn going a long way.
One a touch further than the other, but, you know. Auburn and Florida losing within 5 minutes of each other, that was – I was barbecued by that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Miller and Moulton had the Gators going to the Sweet 16, but you had them going around further, didn't you?
Elite Eight, yeah. I was so sure about it, too. I was so sure about it.
After the injury to the big guy in the SEC final?
I just thought they were playing well at the perfect time. Nope.
No, I had them losing to Marquette. I had them
Oh, gotcha. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You're chalk. Hey, Mark Chalk Miller. And good thing you are. For the record, you had the top four seeds advancing in all four regions.
The only thing I'm upset about in that whole thing is that I didn't take Gonzaga to win two games. The fact that I didn't have them winning a game is stupid. Of my whole bracket, I've got no issues with any mistake that I made other than not taking Gonzaga to win and then to beat Kansas because Kansas was so depleted. That was just ignorance on my part.
When you heard the stat, and you had already filled out your bracket, when you heard the stat that the Zags had made eight consecutive Sweet 16s. You were kicking yourself. You're like, what am I doing? Those are the teams that I pick. So remember that for next year when we'll be trying to make 10 consecutive Sweet 16s. Got some good Sweet 16 matchups.
We really do. We really do. This should be fun. Come Thursday and Friday.
I mean, I don't know how much madness we'll have, but we'll have some good hoop.
And that's what I'd prefer. I'm fine with the madness being done and now getting to basketball.
So, do you do the whole conference pound your chest thing? Because, you know, obviously the ACC right now, they had five teams in the tournament, four in the Sweet 16. I mean, Mark, they've been so good Thursday through Sunday that we've just about forgotten about Virginia. That's how good they were. To be able to forget the stank that Virginia made in the middle of the week, I mean, that's how good the ACC has been in this tournament.
Absolutely terrific. And they should be sticking their chest out right now for how well they've played, because NC State, obviously, the surprise, everybody else kind of doing what they're supposed to do in the ACC.
Although Clemson getting the Sweet 16.
Right.
And they played as a six. A lot of people had them losing the first round.
Yeah. Although it was, there were some things in this tournament, you know, and you guys were all over me. And I said, you know, not all the tens are going to win. Or not all the sevens are going to win. Not all the, you know, when 3-11s won, it was like, right. Come on now, let's.
Right. That's on Friday morning. You were saying, guys, 3-11s won on Thursday. Do we really think the 11s are going 4-0? The problem was the matchup was what? Clemson, New Mexico?
Right.
And we all like New Mexico. And you did until the 11s all won on Thursday. And then you said, yeah, I'm switching my pick.
Absolutely.
They're not going 4-0.
They're just not. And there was a lot of that on Friday.
Also on Friday, the 12s jumped up. The 12s said, it's been a while. We haven't won a game since 2022. We've lost our last six. We're jumping up here. You know, little Grand Canyon action. Little James Madison action. All right, now we're talking. The 12s are back in the game. Good for them.
And then they were bounced, so the right teams get to the Sweet 16, and we get good basketball.
You know, the Big East, still angry. They're 6-0 in the tournament. Of course, they were given a 1, a 2, and a 3, so they should be 6-0, but they're pounding the table along with the ACC saying, look at us! And mocking the SEC on social media.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. The starting five coming up in a little more than 15 minutes time. Trent, in your young life, the madness is a big deal for you. How many times have you not spent it in Michigan? Is this your first time, second time?
Second time. Last year was in Tennessee.
Okay, so you've done it in Nashville, and now you've done it along the west coast of Florida. Are you okay? Are you transitioning to being alone doing the madness? This is what happens when you become an adult, you know?
Yeah, it's very different not being able to watch some of those crazy finishes with my brother and my dad and whatnot. But I don't know. David, by the time Sunday night rolls around, I'm set anyways. So, you know, unless my team won or something and I'm still in it, then I'm...
You're sad on Sunday?
I'm always sad by the time Sunday rolls around.
Just you enjoy the first 4 days that much that you're bummed out when it's over.
Yep. I love the nonstop action. And granted, we still kind of get that in the Sweet 16, but it's just one game at a time instead of three screens going.
So you're sad?
I'm not sad like I'm going to go cry in the corner, but I'm just kind of like, I got to wait 360 days to do that all over again, you know?
You're melancholy? You're the guy who's just been dumped at the beginning of the Hallmark movie? Is that it? It's going to take us nearly 2 full hours to bring a smile back to your face? You know, you kiss that girl from Appleton at the end, you know? That's how it works.
I like melancholy. That's a better way to put it.
Hey, listen, I didn't text either one of you when it was 28-17 Michigan State. All right, I was proud of myself. It's because I'm like, well, at some point Carolina's going to go on a run here, so let's not get
you
too
think?
Crazy.
Just... Have you seen that big guy from Carolina play? He's pretty good.
Well, yeah, especially being guarded by those guys at Michigan State. He's pretty good.
The three stiffs that play the bigs for MSU? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep.
They lack offensive skill, but what they lack in offensive skill, they make up for in defensive negligence.
Right. Right. What they can't do on offense, they trump by what they can't do on defense.
But
right.
If, was it Ingram,
the guard?
The third guard there for North Carolina, who was 5 of 6 from beyond the arc. If they,
right.
If the third, you know, when these good teams find a third scorer,
yeah,
they're unbeatable.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, Spartans were playing a little over their skis in the beginning. And I
just a little.
I didn't think it would be that lopsided. Because then UNC, of course, went on I think it was a 20-2 run, but I didn't necessarily think that was going to be the case. But the better team won, obviously.
Well, and you know, week two, we'll have plenty of time to talk about it. But man, we got some sexy matchups. All right, and if both teams in some of these matchups bring their A games, we could have some good stuff. I will say, though, and I don't know how many people watched because, well, they destroyed their competition, but UConn does look like they're playing their own tournament, and everybody else is having just a hell of a tournament, a really good time. Did anybody catch Danny Hurley at halftime of the Stetson game? Check out the score at the half. I think Stetson had 17 points, something like that. It's not like Northwestern had many more either at the half, but they gave up a couple buckets in the final 2 minutes against Stetson. And Tracy Wolfson had to interview Hurley at halftime. I think the score is like 48-17, something ridiculous. And Hurley is honked. And Tracy just catches his demeanor and just says, well, you've got a really big lead, but you seem bothered. What are you thinking? And he's like, we need to grow up, okay? We need to realize that to be a champion, you've got to play 40 minutes, right? And we looked up at the scoreboard and just said, well, I guess we're done for the day, right? And he goes on this rant, and he just walks away. And Tracy damn near starts giggling. Throwing it back to Ian Eagle, kind of like, well, there you go. It's Danny Hurley in the number one UConn.
I will say the Boilermakers are not far behind the way UConn looks. The Boilermakers, a little bit in the first half against Grambling, didn't have themselves, and from that point on, they are playing with a lot of confidence right now.
Well, not only that, all right, Matt Painter's got them honked off. They're angry at the world.
And Zach Edey thinks he's the Terminator in post-game interviews.
Man, but this is so out of character. I mean, come on. Zach Edey's a nice guy. He's like Yao Ming's disposition back in the day. He's a nice guy. Matt Painter, for goodness sake, is your next-door neighbor on the porch. Him and his wife come over. They welcome you to the neighborhood with a pie. And for those two guys to try to pull the, you know, angry at the world routine, it's just kind of like, come on, are you guys auditioning for you know, what's the role you're auditioning for? Come on. This is very much, and so you've been in sitcoms all your life and you're trying to get a dramatic role. Is that it?
Hey.
It's just so not them.
Every once, 40 years ago, Belushi did Continental Divide. It might have been his best performance, David. All right? It can be done.
You know
what? Adam Sandler did the Diamond movie there. Very good.
Yes.
It can be done. Purdue is trying to go for that type of a role today, or this tournament, and I'm all for it.
Okay, so you're digging the angry.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I want to see how long it can last.
Zach Edey. For the record, UConn was up 52-19 when Hurley gave that interview. He must have felt a little better at halftime against Northwestern. They only gave up 18.
And for how tough the East region looked for UConn.
Right. Oh, yeah. Not so much.
We'll see.
Yeah, I guess. So let's see how, you know, what's interesting in the Sweet 16, it's a rematch of the title game, right?
Yes.
San Diego State and UConn. And let me tell you what a tremendously entertaining game that was. Whew. I have a feeling it'll be about the same. DC points out in our Twitch chat room, Utah State fouled way too much. They Utah State was trying to, like, what? They were going to intimidate Purdue?
Well, they didn't have
the
size.
We're going to get physical with Purdue. Yeah. Well, first off, they shoot free throws really well. And secondly, you're not going to intimidate Purdue.
By the way, I love Van Gundy doing college games. I really do. Because he doesn't care.
No.
He doesn't care about the officials. He doesn't care if he thinks the coaching style is the wrong way. He is going to tell you exactly how he feels it should be done. He's tremendous.
That's what I'm looking for, by the way, from an analyst.
He's tremendous.
We'll say, watching the end of Oakland and NC State and every trip down the floor, Steve Lapis saying the same thing. Well, you got to get it to the big fella here. Well, you got to get to number four down on the elbow. Yeah, we got it, Steve. We got it, right? Yep. Get it to the best player's hands. We got it. So, let's see, what are you, 67 games, so what are we, how many, 52, how many games down? We only got 15 more to go, 67 games, we only got 15 left, so yeah, 52 down, 15 more to go. Tell you what, Trent, since you said you're a little melancholy, all right, a lot of stars in action tonight on the women's side, if you're looking for a little something-something, just
I'll tune
saying.
In. I'll catch some.
In fact, they even start in the afternoon. The starting five will tell you all about it next. Miller and Moulton. Thanks for being with us. MillerMoulton.com. Miller_Moulton on X.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour. Thanks for being with us on this final Monday of March. Miller Moulton, MillerMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. You guys ready? Are we doing this?
We better be.
Time now for...
The Starting Five. Five stories you need to know. It's The Starting Five on Miller and Moulton. Here's number one.
Man, the first round was fun. 3-11s, 2-12s, a 13, and a 14 all won. Yeah, second round?
Terrific.
That's Mark Chalk Miller interjecting there into the starting five. Mark Chalk Miller. Because the Sweet 16 is set. Just the fifth time in history, all four ones and twos made it to the Sweet 16. And if you're looking for teams who by seeding were not supposed to be there, two fives, a six, and an 11? Gonzaga, San Diego State, Clemson, and NC State? I mean, two ACC teams and two quote-unquote mid-majors who aren't really mid-majors anymore? ACC, they got four teams in the Sweet 16, and they only had five teams in the whole tournament. And one of them we all knew shouldn't have been there in Virginia. So the four who should be there, they're doing pretty well. FAU's Dusty May, after FAU blew it late in regulation and then stunk it up in overtime against Northwestern, he said, I don't know about you, but I've done about all I can do here at FAU. I mean, just went to back-to-back NCAAs. We just got an at-large at FAU, okay? Went to the Final Four the year before that. Good luck trying to replace this. He had his choice. He actually could have had Ohio State if he wanted it. He took himself out of that early. So they moved on. So then it was down to Michigan or Louisville. Mark, if you were Dusty May, which school would you have chosen? Because I would have picked Louisville.
I would have as well.
And he chose Michigan. 5-year deal, just under $4 million per. Be honest, I'm surprised he only got 5 years. I thought it was going to be 6 or 7. Drake's Darian DeVries. He did a really good job at Drake. Took him to 3 NCAA tournaments, won a tournament game. He said, yeah, I've done about all I can do here. Besides, my kid's only got 1 year of eligibility left. So how about if we go to West Virginia? So he's going from the Missouri Valley to the Big 12. He got a 5-year deal there. And South Florida season came to an end, 25-8. Pretty good. Pretty good year for South Florida. Regular season AAC champs. They lost in the second round of the NIT at home to VCU. You know, Mark, their coach is actually being mentioned for the Louisville job. That's a big jump.
It's a really big jump. I mean, the fact that he was just at Kennesaw State
a year ago,
right.
Right. And to end up at Louisville.
But Andy Enfield went from FGCU in the A-Sun directly to USC. Louisville's a bigger job than USC, but there was a stepping stone here. That's all. I mean,
right. Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Andy skipped right over the stepping stone job. Right. He skipped over the James Madison, George Mason job and went straight to the Pac-12. No question about it. Wasn't their first choice. He got lucky. Pat Hayden was striking out everywhere. And Andy, you know, 11 years ago now, went to the Sweet 16. Women's tournament, literally one team by seeding posted an upset in the first round. 11-seeded Middle Tennessee State. Otherwise, the 1-8 seeds went 31-1.
Did you see Middle Tennessee State after they won?
They beat
Louisville.
Yeah.
And they were dropping the...
They gave them the L down.
The L down.
Yeah. By the way, credit Louisville. They don't whine and complain like Texas does when you go horns down. Louisville just kind of said, okay, we blew an 18-point lead. I guess we deserve this. But if we get a chance to play you guys again, we'll remember. So Texas and South Carolina, two top seeds, they've advanced. LSU routed Middle Tennessee State to advance. Most interesting part of LSU's trip so far is Kim Mulkey holding a presser to chastise the Washington Post story about her, which is yet to come out. She basically has said, as soon as that is printed, I'm going to sue you. Okay.
Nothing to hide here.
I mean, Jeff Bezos does own the Washington Post. I mean, I don't think you're going to inflict a whole lot of damage here, but okay. I mean, whatever. 2 5s and a 7 are through to the Sweet 16 on the women's side. So now they're not done with their Sweet 16. They finished their Sweet 16 today. If you've gotten into women's hoops this year, it's because of Caitlin Clark. Well, there's 4 games in a row with quote-unquote star power. 4 o'clock, Tennessee's in action. You know, the Lady Vols. 6 o'clock, Geno, Paige Beckers, and UConn's in action. 8 o'clock, Caitlin Clark and Iowa's in action. And at 10 o'clock, Juju Watkins of USC. And if you haven't heard of her, she's the second best player in college basketball. And she's a freshman. So they're all on the 4-letter network if you are interested. NBA, you know, the Heat led by 45 in the fourth quarter. That's the biggest lead they've had in a game in 10 years against Cleveland. They won it home by 37. They're tied for the 7th seed with Philadelphia, who went out to L.A. and beat the Clippers. First time Sixers and Clippers have played since the Harden deal. And Philly won by 14. Philly tied with the Heat. They play each other in the first round of the play-in right now. Clippers are the 4 seed, a half a game ahead of New Orleans. By the way, New Orleans got 36 from Zion and a 13-point win over the Pistons, but the Pistons were getting 14.5. Trent, did you take the Pistons?
Of course not.
He's done. He's moved on from the Pistons this year, if you haven't noticed, from a betting standpoint.
Just wondering, because if he had taken the points, he would have covered. Giannis at 30, Milwaukee beat OKC by 25, and now Denver by a half a game over OKC has the top spot out west. T-Wolves are a game back. They beat Golden State 114-110. Has anybody been paying attention to the standings out west? Do you know the Warriors now are only a game ahead of the Rockets for the final play-in spot out west? Houston is chasing down Golden State. I think if they miss the play-in entirely, that will officially end the dynasty, right? We can say it's over. Over, please. This was a regulation game last night in the NBA. The Lakers won 50 and the Pacers won 45. For the record, Pacers are the 6th seed in the East. NHL, how about the Lightning on a little 6-0-1 run? They lost in overtime the night before in L.A. Last night they won in overtime. Anthony Cirelli with the breakaway game winner. They beat Anaheim 3-2. Panthers snapped the 4-game skid. They beat the Flyers 4-1. Sam Reinhart, 2 goals. He's got 50. You know how many other Panthers have scored 50 goals in a season? 1. Pavel Bure. He did it twice over 20 years ago. Panthers tied with the Bruins for the top spot in the division. Florida's got the game in hand. Ovechkin with 2 more goals. He scored 18 goals since the All-Star break. He's got 26. He had 8 goals in, like, the Super Bowl. He's going to end up with 30.
Well, and more importantly, not only is he scoring goals, but he's doing it at an important time because they have moved themselves back into a playoff spot.
They are. They're a point ahead of the Wings for the final spot in the East. Oh, by the way, Detroit at Washington Tuesday night. Seems like a big regular season game to me. Carolina edged Toronto 2-1. You know the Bolts are only 4 points behind the Leafs for 3rd place in the division? I mean, I don't know that it matters. I mean, well, I guess you could argue you'd be better off being the wild card. But right now, I mean, who? You're playing Florida, Boston, or the Rangers, or Carolina? I mean, it's not an easy draw, no matter what. And Colorado 5-4 in overtime over the Penguins. Crosby with a goal and 3 assists in the loss. The Avs have won 9 straight. They're tied with Dallas for the division lead, and they've got a game in hand. Valspar, Peter Malnati, his 2nd career win, 1st in 9 years. He was crying afterwards. Good for him. He birdied 17, part 18 to win by 2. And Malnati's that guy who's on the 6-member PGA Tour board. You got like 5 big names and Peter Malnati. He basically represents everybody else.
Well, he represented everyone else.
Yeah,
up now, until yesterday.
Right. Now, you know, Tiger may let me on his plane. For the next meeting, I said May.
Cam LPGA. Young, before you, Cam Young with another runner-up.
I know.
With another runner-up.
This guy, remember David Duval at the start of his career? He just couldn't win. He had like 1 win in 13 seconds before he steamrolled everybody for 1.5 years. LPGA, Nelly Korda rallied to win the Sayre Park Championship in a playoff. Soccer, the U.S. men's national team. We won the Nations League. We beat Mexico 2-0 in the final. NASCAR, William Byron took the lead from Ross Chastain with 20 laps to go. He won the road course race in Austin. Chastain finished 7th. And opening day in Major League Baseball, maybe Thursday. But this afternoon might be the biggest moment of the baseball season until the playoffs. Ohtani is going to talk.
It's taken them 5 days to come up with a prepared statement for him to talk.
Well, he says he's going to answer questions. Says he's going to do a presser. So this whole gambling situation. If you missed it last week, Ohtani's interpreter got fired. Turns out that he, that's the claim, he had $4.5 million in gambling debts. Here's the thing, though. At least two of the checks totaling $1 million paying off the gambling debts have Ohtani's signature on it. Ohtani's trying to claim he didn't know anything about it. The interpreter told a story to ESPN on Tuesday that said, no, Ohtani knew about it. I went to him in the fall. I apologized, and he agreed to pay off my debts. Sports gambling in California is illegal. Never mind. What did he bet on? The interpreter says it was all football, basketball, not a single baseball bet. Of course, that, you know, people are going to be like, are we sure he? I mean, Mark, the one guy is a worldwide superstar making tens of millions of dollars in endorsements and salary. The other guy is a $300,000 interpreter. Yet the guy making 300 grand ran up $4.5 million or more in gambling debts. I mean, the only way that happens is if the guy says, well, yeah, Shohei's good for it. I mean, seriously. Am I wrong? Have I watched too many Italian mob movies? I mean, I've watched 200 Law and Orders. I know how this plays out.
No, this is the guy who owned the hardware store in The Sopranos. The sporting goods stores there that they take back over because he keeps running up the debt and he thinks he's got it going. It's how this works.
Yeah. So, and by the way, there are reports out there saying, oh, yeah, $4.5 million? Nah, it was a lot more than that. So we'll see if that comes to light as well. And at 8 minutes before the hour, that was...
That was the Starting Five every weekday morning at this time on Miller and Moulton.
Oh, I'm fascinated by this story. Can't wait to talk to David Sampson about it tomorrow. Ohtani's going to talk today. We've got David Sampson 24 hours from now.
And it turns out this interpreter basically lied about his whole career.
Right. First off, how was this not caught? He claimed he worked for the Red Sox in spring training in 2010. The guy he interpreted for got released on February 17th. That's like day two of spring training.
I mean, the Red Sox went out, released a statement to say this guy never worked for us.
No, he may have worked for the pitcher, but we cut the pitcher. He barely got the Fort Myers for spring training, and we cut him.
So, yes, I'm all in.
That's okay. He claimed he got a bachelor's degree from a college. They called the college. They go, yeah, we have no record of this guy ever enrolling in school here. It's very trustworthy.